Hello, BCT. This is Mary. I decided that I would do a podcast on a subject that I have thought about off and on for quite a while. And I guess we can describe the subject as culture, awareness, and accommodation. I don't remember what this particular thing was called during my professional life, but there was a name for it. I don't know what it was. I'm inserting a comment here while editing. I think it was global cultural accommodation. And after I did this podcast a few days ago, it is now the 10th of November 2006, I remembered a few things as I went through in my first editing session, and am going to be inserting things as I go along here to clarify and add information. What it involved, at least when I was working, was acknowledging the fact that you need to be aware of global cultures, the way that people do things, the similarities and the differences, and this was all spoken of in reference not only to business people traveling throughout the world, but also dealing with people's email and phone conversations and just the ways that things were done. Maybe some of my observations will be helpful to the people who are listening to BCT, since we seem to be expanding quite a bit to other places beyond Europe and the U.S. and Australia. And maybe some of the things that I went through when I was working will help people to focus on some things. For those of you who don't know, I am a retired IBM employee. I primarily dealt with local customers in the lab where I worked. However, we did all need to take some mandatory education in the area of global culture. And one of the exercises that we did during one of our department meetings was that we were given a list of 10, 15, 20 situations, short paragraphs describing situations. And the question was how you would respond to these situations. And there was a correct answer, and then there was also an answer that was sort of correct, and then there were a couple of things that were just not correct. The whole point of this was that people need to be aware of how things are done in other countries. Another point was to make people aware that their culture was not the only way to conduct business or to behave in different parts of the world. In fact, it was kind of a wake-up call because people were being asked to not only travel, but to have managers and supervisors in other countries. So you could be living in England and have a supervisor who lived in Asia. And I would imagine that this is becoming more and more widespread in much of the business world these days. Now, there was, in conjunction with this exercise, a global website that any IBM employee could go to if they were going to be traveling somewhere, or if they were going to be in a situation where they were working with or working for somebody from another country. And everybody was encouraged to go out to this website and read the specific information about the country that they were dealing with. There was a wealth of information out there. And the point was that if you were going to be working with somebody rather closely, you had to know what their expectations were of you, and also if they were going to be working with you, they were expected to do the same thing. They would have to be reading about your country and what was the correct way to deal with people in your country, because they probably didn't know. And it was frowned upon if you thought you could just go to another country or just work with somebody from another country without being prepared. It really was much more diplomatic and much more proper if you knew the manners, the customs, the expectations, and the way of doing business in the country you were dealing with before you went there or dealt with somebody from there. It was considered very impolite to just go to another country and expect them to do things your way. And it also would create a lot of culture shock if you went to another country and were totally unprepared for their customs and their culture. There was need for a great deal of respect on both sides, and you had to keep the peace as best you could. That was the best and the most correct way of doing things. Whether you were doing things through email or phone calls or internet sites or travel. Well, continuing my comments on the exercise that we did, what I remember most about this, now this happened, I guess, a couple of years ago. I don't know exactly what month this happened, but there were some situations that were quite interesting. And these are what I remember, because I kind of imagined myself being in one of these countries and responding in whatever way they needed me to respond. This is all cultural, and it's all very interesting because it's so built into the lifestyle of the people who lived in the various countries that you just kind of didn't really understand that this was how things were done until you actually went there and were educated about it. If these people had come to the UK, the US, Australia, for example, they would have to adjust to the way that we do things. And it goes both ways. If an American or somebody from another country would go to another country, they would also have to adjust. If some of what I describe here is inaccurate, I apologize in advance, because I'm remembering this just off the top of my head. And corrections would be appreciated, most preferably in a podcast so that other BCT members could benefit from it. And we were given choices of 3 or 4 possible responses to the situation. And there was always a correct answer. There was kind of a semi-correct answer. And there were 2 definitely incorrect answers. And these questions were rather difficult because none of the answers was really what an American would do. So this was really a wake-up call to be aware of the uniqueness of different cultures. Some of the situations are very, very interesting. One was that, say you were in Australia and you were invited to a cookout, and your boss invited you. The correct way to respond is that you had to go, because apparently what happens is that you go to the cookout, things are very, very, very casual, and sometime during the cookout they just make a casual comment about a business situation and you just casually resolve it. Now, I would really appreciate, and I'm sure other BCT people would appreciate, feedback on all of this, because I'm no expert at all. I'm just remembering what I heard. Another thing that was really quite intriguing was that there was a question about going to one of the Asian countries, and
Let's say you were invited to a breakfast business meeting. Well, in the U.S., very often what happens is that you go to this breakfast, and usually you do the business stuff while you are eating the breakfast. But apparently what happens in some of these countries is that you eat first and then you talk business. Another thing that I found interesting was, let's say you're in Italy and you're invited to a gathering of people and you want to bring, say, flowers for decoration or to give to the hostess. And you don't realize that it's a mistake, but you get some chrysanthemums and you take them to the hostess, and the hostess is very offended. What the description said was that chrysanthemums are a flower that blooms in the fall, and somehow they're associated with death. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what it said. And there were many situations like this. I think there was one that took place in the UK. There was another one, which is quite interesting, in which you go to a meeting with somebody in Korea and you expect to talk business right away. And what happens is you sit down and you have a cup of tea and you talk casual things. And the point is that the person appreciates getting to know you, and you get to know them, and then you slowly kind of get into the business that you need to discuss. So there are many ways of doing things, and what it all boils down to is that you need, if you're going to have business associates or friends in other countries, you need to learn the proper ways of doing things in the different countries. This is true regardless of what country you're from, regardless of where you're going or not going, regardless of whether you're communicating in Braille, on tape, on the internet, email, phone, doesn't make any difference. It's cultural accommodation, and you need to be aware of it. And what happens also is that there are ways of interpreting words differently. Basically, if you're going to have friends from other countries, and this is true if they're going to have friends from the US, or from the UK, or from Australia, or from another country in Europe, Asia, Africa, there needs to be enough knowledge of the language and the ways in which things are expressed that there will not be any misunderstanding on either side. This is something that is really important. I'm sure that quite often people who write for different publications in different parts of the world, or who need to be aware of interpreting from one language to another. This is even true for countries that are relatively close to the U.S. For example, one of the examples that I recall is one in which somebody was sent to Mexico, and in the example, they were supposed to deal with a business situation. And there was a situation in which a man was the manager, and a business associate who was female was also involved. And the point was that the man was the one who was the dominant person, and what he said was the way things were going to be done. So that is not always true in some countries. in the U.S., for example, we have a lot of women who are involved in business and in managerial positions, and they have pretty much equal voice in the way that things are done. That's not true in other countries. I'm not saying that something is wrong or something is right. This is just how people live. So, there needs to be a great deal of flexibility with regard to the way that people deal with other people, and there needs to be a great deal of care taken in communication. So, I think that I've pretty much described what I can remember of the little exercise that we went through in our department meeting that day. I wish I could remember more of the examples. There were examples in which situations occurring in China and Japan were also described, but I don't remember any of them. And I think there was one from Sweden. I don't remember that one either. And there was one from the UK. And there had to be at least 10, 15, 20 of them. So they were certainly very well done. And I'm quite sure that this is something that is becoming more and more necessary as the years go by. So, I hope some of this has been at least thought-provoking, and I hope that some of it will at least help all of us to communicate better, and I hope some of this made sense. If anybody wishes to comment further on this, it would be useful to have additional podcasts on the subject. If you want to get in touch with me, you could email me, but please do not bombard me with lots and lots and lots of email messages. If you want to email me, you can. My email is maryemerson, maryemerson, at sbcglobal.net.
And my podcast feed is Emerson, Emerson, Libsyn, Lib, as in boy, Syn, as in Nancy, .net/RSS. That's emerson.libsyn.net/RSS. Or you can go to the website, www.emerson.libsyn.net, and that will get you to my website where the podcasts are located.
Thank you for listening, and bye for this time.